Nice to see you all, folks. It's lovely to be here. My name is Paul McLarty. I know some of you guys. I'm from Northern Ireland. I have a Scottish accent. I'm not sure why, but that's, you might think I'm from Scotland, but I'm not really. I'm from the north of Ireland. I spent some time in Scotland, and then I've got a wife from Shetland. I don't know if you know where Shetland is, but it's near Norway. So that's where she's from. I have four teenage daughters, so I don't have any hobbies. And that's about it. And I'm here. I'm really glad to be here and get a break from home. So thank you very much for coming, and it's good to be here. My exercise for this weekend, really, brothers and sisters, is to think on four fundamental doctrines in the Bible. Some of you will know what I'm going to speak about. Some of you will have thought about these things for many, many years, but it's good to go over them again. So we've got four sessions to cover, and I would like to think on four fundamental doctrines that we as Christians need to understand. Number one, the doctrine of justification. What do you think about that? I think the last time I was with you in Gorey was 2018, and we looked at that subject with the younger people, but we'll go into it a little bit more depth this evening. And then I want to think tomorrow morning, God willing, on the truth of sanctification, what that means for us. And then tomorrow, the third session, will be adoption. We think about the doctrine of adoption in the Bible and the impact that should have on our lives. And then tomorrow evening, God willing, I want to think about glorification. So those are the four fundamental doctrines that I want to think about. Now, obviously, because we're not looking at one particular passage, we're going to be jumping throughout different parts of the Bible because we're looking at a subject, so we don't have really a particular text that we're working through. And I hope that isn't too off-putting. I hope you can follow my thinking through these things. So what I would like to do just now is read our portion for this evening together, Romans chapter 5. And just to let you know that if this needs to be an interactive session, I'm okay with that. If you think I say something that doesn't make sense and you want it clarified, please just put up your hand. And if you see somebody else has their hand up and I don't see them, you put up your hand to tell me that they have their hand up. Okay, and we might not need to do that, but if I say anything that doesn't make sense or that needs clarified, yeah, I'll try to do that. So please feel free to put up your hand and communicate that to me. So we'll read together from Romans chapter 5. So the doctrine we're thinking about is the doctrine of justification. And it's really all through the Bible, and we'll look at that in a little minute or two, but this is the passage that I want to read with you. It's a very well-known passage in the Word of God. So I'm reading from the King James Version, Romans 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, and some of your versions will have the correct tense, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. Now we're going to read different parts of the Word of God together, but that will do for our reading just now. Now I'm going to sit down. If by sitting down you can't see me or it makes it a bit awkward, let me know afterwards. In the next sessions I'll stand up, but maybe it's a bit more comfortable sitting down to discuss these things. So I suppose initially it's always appropriate to speak about and to think about our blessings in Christ. And it's always appropriate to think about these four different doctors we're going to think about for a number of reasons. Number one, whenever we think about the blessings that we have in Christ, it glorifies God because it magnifies his grace to us. And if we think properly about these blessings, the blessing of justification, for example, the result of that should be that we magnify God in our hearts. We grow in our appreciation of the grace and the kindness of God. Number two, it's appropriate because it reassures and encourages Christians. And if we are ever in a time when Christians need continual encouragement because of so much discouragement, it is today. And a way to encourage our own hearts and to comfort our own hearts and to rejoice our own hearts is to think on the blessings that God has given to us in Christ, justification being one of them. Thinking about our blessings as well, it awakens within us, if we think about them properly, it awakens within our hearts a corresponding responsibility back to God. If he has blessed me in this way, there should be a response back to him in love and in service, primarily service is what I'm thinking about. So there should be a response, a worshipful response back to the God who has so blessed us. And then lastly, whenever we think about blessings, it glorifies Christ. Not just glorifies God, but it glorifies Christ by magnifying his ability to bless us like this. And the wonder of his work at Calvary to buy for us, to purchase for us, by his blood, such great blessings. And so it's always appropriate, brothers and sisters, to think about the blessings we have in Christ. Now, when it comes to our salvation, being saved, being a Christian, the Word of God describes this in different ways, and it borrows language from different areas of living. And I know you know these things, but just to go over them again. Sometimes the Word of God borrows language from the commercial world, and it talks about the fact that we have been redeemed, we've been bought. And that's a kind of commercial idea, a slavery idea. So that's one way to think about our salvation. Another way the Bible describes it and God describes it is that we are born again, and that comes from the family idea of life, that we have been born into God's family. There is another way that we are described, those of us who are saved, that we have been made whole, or we are healed. And that comes from a kind of medical background. And then we have this idea, a kind of a ceremonial religious idea, that we have been cleansed. The day you trusted Christ, you were cleansed. You were purified. You were qualified to be in his presence. And that comes from a ceremonial sort of idea. Then if you think about relationships in life, God's word says that the day you trusted Christ, you were reconciled. You were at a distance and now you are brought near to God. And when we come to this term we're going to look at this evening, the word justification, it comes from a legal background. Okay, so there's all these different backgrounds that God knows we're familiar with, and he uses words from them all to help us to understand just what it means to be saved. It's a big, big thing to be saved. And we need all these descriptions to help us to actually grasp it. And the word justification comes from this idea. It comes from a legal background. And I know sometimes when you say that, some people switch off and think this is going to be really boring. And I hope it's not going to be boring, because justification, brothers and sisters, is simply one of the most fundamental and basic and crucial doctrines to get a hold of in your Christian life. If you don't understand justification, you will not progress in your Christian life the way God wants you to. And so it's so fundamental to get a hold of it. It is one of the greatest doctrines in the Bible, and it's difficult to find a subject in the Bible that is actually so momentous for human beings. If you start from the oldest book in the Bible, which is Job, good, the oldest book in the Bible, to the most recent book in the Bible, Revelation, you start at the oldest book of the Bible, and what does Job ask? How then can man be justified with God? Right at the very beginning. That's his question. Justification is on his mind. How can a man be justified with God? Go to the other end of the Bible, Revelation 22. The Bible says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. So that's justification language. The beginning and the end of our Bible is to do with justification. Now, because it's such a big subject, we need to plot a way through with our thinking this evening, or we could just be overwhelmed with verses and things. So I want to divide our thinking this evening into four kind of categories. We're going to think about the definition of justification, and then we want to think about the explanation of justification. And then the Bible has a lot to say about it, so we want to think about the revelation of justification, how it's revealed in the Bible. And then, after you waken up, we'll think then about the application of how that should impact my life as a Christian. And if we don't get through all this, it's okay. We have time tomorrow, we can go through it, or we can chat about it afterwards. So the definition of justification, first of all. Justification simply means, the word simply means to be declared right. To be declared right, or to be shown to be right. Okay, it's a very simple kind of definition. That's what it means. Now, it's interesting, when you come to your Bible, you find that people are not the only things that are justified. God is justified in the Bible. You think, well, sure, God was never a sinner, absolutely. But that justification isn't about sin in itself. Justification is about being declared to be right. So God, in the scriptures, is shown to be right in what he does, and just in what he does. So he's just in dealing with the nations. He is just in his judgments. He is just in saving us. The Bible speaks about God is the one who justifies the ungodly, but he is just in doing it. So he is seen to be right in the fact that he saves people. So God is justified. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3 that Christ was justified. He was justified in the Spirit. And it seems that that text would teach us that the working of the Spirit of God in his life, in the miracles that he did, and in his own resurrection, proved or declared that Christ was right. Okay? Not that he was a sinner and he got saved. No, that's not the idea. The idea is that he was declared to be right. There's an interesting use of the word justification or justified in Matthew chapter 11. The Lord is talking about wisdom. And he says this, wisdom is justified of her children. I think that's an odd statement. And really what that means is that true wisdom is ultimately proven to be right by the fruit that right choices make. So if somebody makes a wise choice, it might not look the best choice, but on down the line, that wise choice will be shown to be the right choice. So wisdom is justified, wisdom is shown to be right by its children or by the fruit it produces. Okay, so take all that idea of being shown to be right. Now bring this into the gospel and bring it into you and I, our life. Romans chapter 4, verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. For the sinner then to be justified simply means that the sinner is declared right by God. God declares a sinner right. Now, if you let that sink in a little bit, it's pretty amazing. Of all the things you and I have done, and the people that we are, the gospel is that God justifies the ungodly. Now, right away, in our hearts, we're saying, how can a good God do that? How can a holy God justify ungodly people? How can he say that we are right? Well, that's what justification is. Justification means that God places someone. Until that point, they have not been right with him. And from that point, they are now right with him. And God will treat them as being right with him forever. That's justification.
Amen.
Now, that has huge implications in our life. We'll come to that down the line a little bit. So, that's the definition of it. Definition of justification is that God declares someone right with him and will treat that person as being right with him forever. So, category number two, the explanation of justification. What actually is this about? So, some people equate justification with forgiveness. Forgiveness is a biblical term, and forgiveness is a biblical blessing. But justification is more than forgiveness. And we'll think about that in 2 seconds. Some people then say, I know what justification is. Justification is just as if I've never sinned. Now that's better, but it's still not good enough. Okay? So justification is more than forgiveness. And it's more than just as if I've never sinned. I'll explain it to you in this way. So forgiveness is God removing the penalty of your sin. The hell you deserve. The punishment that is yours. Forgiveness, God says this. The moment I forgive that person, I release them. The word forgiveness, the Bible really means release. I release them from the liability that they have to pay for their sins. I release them from it. Their hell is gone. That's forgiveness. Okay? Now, just as if I've never sinned-ness is when God says, you see the list of sins after your name. Not just does the total amount rubbed out, but I have removed the list of sins after your name. In God's record, in heaven, in his mind, I assume, there are no sins that need to be judged under your name if you're justified. That sheet is empty. They're gone. So, justification, number one, your hell is gone. Number two, the list of your sins is gone. The Bible presents it this way in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Paul says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Your hell's gone. Romans chapter 4, verse 8, sin is not imputed. Sin is not put down on your account. God does not see you as a sinner anymore. But that just brings us up. Right, so hopefully this comes across. That brings us up to kind of a neutral place. So, I'm not going to hell. And I don't have any sins after my name. But that's just me neutral. I'm still not good enough for heaven. I haven't done anything right. Okay, God has said, I remove all your wrong. But I'm kind of like Adam before he sinned. I'm sort of neutral. Is that justification? No. What then God does, brothers and sisters, is God puts to your account a positive rightness with himself. A positive rightness. That's what the Bible calls righteousness.
So it's not just that you haven't done wrong after your name, but that you have come up to the full standard. In a sense, God sees you as someone who has done everything right. Everything right. So, how he does that, why he does that, and when he does that, we'll see in a little minute. But let that sink in that he does that. That's what he does. So justification then is a legal declaration about us that we are positively right with God. Does that make sense? Yep. So no hands up yet. Okay. So those are the three ideas in justification. Keep that. Forgiveness. My hell's removed. The list of my sin is removed. Sin is not imputed. And then there is given over to me a positive rightness. You say, where does that rightness come from? Well, we'll see that in a little minute. Because people are confused about where it comes from. So that's the explanation of justification. Now, we're going to spend probably most of our time in this third bit, the revelation of justification. What does God say about justification in the Bible? Because what God says about it, he wants you to know about it. There are no redundant verses in the Bible. If you think there's anything redundant in the Bible, well, then you're missing out on that bit. And so God has described justification to us in so many ways and has told us so much about it that we might get a hold of it. Now, there's seven things. There's more than this probably, but there's seven things we want to go through. And this might take us up to the end of the session. So number one, justification is by God. By God. Who is it that says you're right with God? God. God does it. Now, that should just cause us to go, praise the Lord. Like, it's not your brother in Christ does it. It's not your sister. It's not your mum or your dad. It's not even the Christian church says it. It's not an angel says it. It's not. If Michael the archangel came here and said to me, Paul, do you know that you're right with God? That'd be amazing. But it's infinitely more amazing that God says it. Romans 8 and 33, so I'll need to prove what I said. Romans 8 and 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who will bring blame against God's elect? And then the answer to that question is this. It is God that justifies. If someone or something or some power is going to bring a sin under your name or cast aspersions on you or bring ill repute on your name in God's presence, they have to go against God. They have to undo God's word. Romans 3 verse 24, the Bible says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, we'll quote this a few times, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Who or what can enter God's court and accuse or condemn God's elect ones? It's absurd.
Sorry, that reference?
That reference is Romans 3 and 24. And then the other one is Romans 8 and 33. So justification is by God. Sometimes the worst accuser of our conscience is ourselves. And sometimes you have to speak to yourself. Sometimes people say speaking to yourself means you're mad. That's okay. I'm really mad then. Mm-hmm. Or some people say it's not speaking to yourself, it's answering back to yourself is the worst thing. But sometimes we allow our thoughts to run rampant. And those of us who have been saved out of the world, those of us who have years and we have done things before we were saved that we're embarrassed about, that we are full of guilt about, and we don't want to think about it. It's shameful. And remember the day you got saved, they're all gone. All gone. But there are times when we can replay things in our mind. Bring every thought into captivity. Captivate it by the power of God. God has justified you, and not even your own conscience can condemn you. Justification is by God. Number two, justification is by grace. So if justification is by God, that's the source of it. Justification is by grace, that's the nature of it, or the character of it. So we'll go back to our Romans 3 verse again. Romans 3 and 24, the Bible says this, that we are justified freely by his grace. Freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Titus 3 verse 5 says this, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he shed on us abundantly. What an amazing. Which he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Saviour. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So justification comes to us as God's free gift. You did not earn it. You could not earn it. I could not earn it. There is not one of you here in this little room that are more deserving of justification than any other. You say, well, there's people here that have done a lot of bad things, and I was saved when I was five and I didn't do that. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Not one of you deserve justification more than anyone else. Brothers and sisters, we have been justified freely by his grace. When God justifies us, it is not on the merits of anything that we have done or in the merits of anything that we are, but purely as a gift from God. Now that helps me understand what sort of God God is. God is a giving God. He is a generous God. He is not a reluctant justifier. He has made the channel through which people are justified so straightforward in order that he can justify as many as come to him. He is not a grudging justifier. And whenever we understand this as Christians, it is the kind of final nail in the coffin of our pride. Christians can over time become proud. We can pride ourselves in our church. We can pride ourselves in our doctrinal status or our doctrinal understanding of things. We can pride ourselves in our service. Look what we're doing for God. Brothers and sisters, when I remember that justification is by grace, there is no room for pride. This is what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 29. And this concept, this idea of justification, Paul says that no flesh should glory in his presence. Now this is the text. But of God, of him, are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, that's justification, and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, that him that glorieth, glory in the Lord. Pride is what breaks relationships in the local church. A lack of humility. Not being able to say sorry. Not being able to say I got it wrong. But this entitlement that can be within our hearts. If I'm living in the good, that my justification is by grace. In fact, everything I have is by grace. Everything I have is by God's grace. It should dissolve it. It should help me overcome the propensity of my heart to be proud. Number three, justification is by faith. So it's, you see, all these things are really easy to understand. I know you know all these things, but it's good to go over them again. Justification is by faith. So God, that's the source of it. It's by grace, that's the nature of it. It's by faith, that is the reception of it. That's the when God justifies. Sometimes we have maybe strange ideas, and maybe you don't think this way, but sometimes hymns can bring it out. Or sometimes people say this, that, you know, when Christ died, we were justified. We were kind of justified on credit or something. Or God justified everybody at the death of Christ and we come into the good of it or something. No, no, no. We are justified by faith. Romans 5 verse 1, we've just read it. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 3 and 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Verse 26 of Romans chapter 3, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. I want to say something here, and I don't want to be confrontational, but I it's good to think about this. Can people be saved today without believing in Jesus? So what do you mean? What if someone lives in a country where they've never heard the gospel, and they look up to the sky and they see the stars and they know that God exists, or they come to a conclusion that there's a God there, and they kind of, that's it. Nobody brings them the gospel. They believe that God exists. Or does God just kind of save them then? We have no scripture to teach that. The only scripture we have is to say what the Bible says, that God will justify him or her that believeth in Jesus. You say, is God then, I know this is a side issue, is God then unfair in this person who knows God exists but never hears of, has never heard of Jesus? Brothers and sisters, you leave that up to God. God can, in his grace and in his mercy, bring the message of the gospel to whomever he wills, whoever he wants to, and whatever way he wants. I remember a brother, an older brother, saying to me, Paul, if God wanted to write John 3:16 in clouds in the sky, he could do it very easily. You know, so it is our responsibility to take the gospel to the world, but there's a kind of a sort of a thing that people sometimes think that as long as you sort of know that God exists and that's sort of okay, God will be nice to you and that's fine. And a sort of, if we talk about God, you know, we talk like this in the day that we live in, that we live in a kind of Christian culture. People now talk about being cultural Christians, where they're not really committed to the Christian faith, but they live in a Christian culture. They appreciate Christian things. I think Jordan Peterson and men like that talk that sort of thing, that we need to be very careful. You're only justified, according to the word of God, when you believe in Jesus. God has given him this honour. This is one of the ways that God has honoured his Son, that all who are justified must get it through his Son. Paul says in Philippians 3 verse 9 that he wanted to be found in him, in Christ, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Yes, so what is faith then? What is faith? Well, it's interesting, in the book of Romans, in the letter to the Romans, this is exactly what Paul brings out after he's spoken justification in chapter 3. Then in chapter 4, the whole of chapter 4 is teaching us what faith is. What it's not, first of all, and then what it is. So just to summarise it, faith then, according to the Bible, Faith is a personal confidence in God and his word that produces a personal trust in Christ and his work. Okay? So you can't have faith without God's word. Because faith is believing what God has said. So God has to speak before you can believe it. So biblical faith is a personal confidence, a belief in, a trust in God and his word that produces a personal confidence, a personal trust in Christ and his work. It's not just believing things about God. There's got to be a personal commitment, a personal handing over, a reliance on the person of Jesus Christ. And at that moment, and it begins in a moment, but that personal trust keeps on going, obviously. But at that moment, that person is justified. So we're justified by faith. There's no hands up, so maybe you all agree to a certain degree. Good, excellent. So, point number four, justification is by God, that's the source of it. It's by grace, that's the nature of it. It's by faith, that's the reception of it. How can God justify? How does he do it? How can a holy God say that I am right with him when I'm not? How does he do that? Well, he needs two things to do this. And we're going to think number one of the first thing. Justification is by blood. That is the legal foundation for it. Justification is by blood. Back to Romans 3 verse 24. The Bible says we're justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You know what redemption is? Redemption is the payment he made in blood at Calvary. And God is teaching us here that our justification is through that, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, a justice-satisfying sacrifice, through faith in his blood. Romans 5 verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And this really is the core and the crux of the Christian gospel, the biblical gospel, that God does not look at me, the sinner, and make an assessment of me and of my work, and through that justifies me. No, no. He does make an assessment of a person and a work, but it's of his son and his son's work, and on the basis of that assessment that God makes, and the divine evaluation that God puts on the work of his son, on the basis of that, God then justifies those who believe in Jesus. So justification is from God to me in grace, on the basis of what Christ received from God in judgment. You see, those sins, to be wiped away, had to be paid for. And he paid for them in his blood. That should humble us. That a person would think enough of me and think enough of you to take responsibility for all your sins and go to God with them and receive God's judgment on them. And he did it long before you were ever born. Justification is by his blood. Brothers and sisters, let us never, ever graduate from being amazed at Calvary. If it is that the cross begins to bore me, I need to get into the presence of God and repent of what it is I've done wrong. But not only is our justification by blood. And that's the legal foundation for it. We need something else. We thought about this, that justification is not just the removal of our sin. That's by blood. But justification is a positive rightness with God. So this is our fifth point. Justification is in a living Christ. Now this is an aspect of justification we don't hear an awful lot about. But I'm telling you about it because it's in the Bible. Justification is in a living Christ. Now, the reason why we don't hear an awful lot about it is because this is where there's a misunderstanding when it comes to our positive rightness with God. Some Christians think, and they are brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm not decrying the gospel they believe in or the fact they're saved, nothing about at all. They're good brothers and sisters in Christ. But for years, for centuries, the idea that when Jesus Christ was here on earth as a man before he died, he fulfilled the law. He was earning a positive righteousness that kind of was stored up so that whenever someone trusts in Christ, there is what is called a double imputation. Not a double amputation. A double imputation, where our sins have been put on Jesus Christ and we receive his righteousness. Now, brothers and sisters, I don't think that's in the Bible. There is nowhere in the Bible that it says that we receive the righteousness of Christ, or that we are clothed with the righteousness of Christ. Okay, now, keep with me here on this. What justification is better than that? It's not that we get his righteousness that he earned from birth to death. It's that he is our righteousness as a living Christ. We sing about it, and maybe it doesn't catch. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end of all my sin. That's his blood. Because the sinless Saviour died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. Forgiveness, pardon me. Now listen to this verse. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect, spotless righteousness. He is my righteousness. This idea that somehow I get something from him, God puts it on me, and I am Paul McClarty, dressed with the righteousness that comes from Christ, is not a biblical thought. The Bible says that I have been put into Christ, and he is my righteousness. It's not something I get from him, it's something he is for me. I'm getting excited about that, but it's a good thing. It's a good thing, because it's what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30, we've read this. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness. Romans chapter 4 verse 25 teaches us this, that he was delivered up for our offences. That's his blood shed for our pardon. He was delivered up for our offences and was raised again for our justification. What do you mean for justification? Now, some books you read, they will say he was raised again because we are justified. I don't know what that means. He was raised again in order that we can be justified in a living Christ. This is what Galatians 2 says. Galatians 2 verse 17. Now, if in seeking to be justified in Christ, we also have been found sinners, then as Christ the minister of sin, etc. It's just that little phrase Paul uses, that we are seeking to be justified in Christ. The Apostle Paul as well, in Philippians 3 and 9, we've read this before, now think about it again. Paul says, I want to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So when you come over to Romans chapter 8, verse 33, the Bible says, ask the question, who shall bring anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifieth. Who is it that condemns us? It is Christ who died, more than that, who was raised and is at the right hand of God. Paul doesn't say, who is he that condemns us? It is Christ that lived and earned our righteousness and then died. He doesn't say that. He says, who is it he that condemns? It is Christ that died and lives again. You see, and here's the thing. Can I lose my justification? Can I lose my right standing with God? I can in one condition, that Christ ceases to exist. When he ceases to exist, my justification is so tied up with him. When he ceases to exist, I cease to be justified. And the Bible says he lives in the power of an indestructible life. He will never die. He will never die. How secure is my rightness with God? How secure is my justification? It is as secure as his life is. And I would say that's pretty secure. Justification is in a living Christ. Point number six. I know our time is well gone. Point number six. Justification is to life. It's to life. That's the condition that corresponds with our position. Have you ever been in a situation where you have been in a position but not in a condition to match it? I was thinking about this, and I remember as a boy of 18, I was looking for a job in the summertime. Come back from university, looked for a job in the summertime, and a brother in Christ, he owned a mortar making company, and I phoned him up and I said, looking for a job, and he said this, and I don't know if you understand this language, I didn't. This is how I got into trouble. He says, can you drive a shovel? Now, what I thought he meant was, can you work hard? Can you pick up a spade and use it? And I says, absolutely, Daniel, I can drive a shovel. He says, great, excellent. When can you start? I start any time at all. Come on down on Monday morning. Monday morning, 6 o'clock, I was on the yard. He says, Paul, there's the keys. What for? The shovel. This beast of a thing. And I walked over to it, trembling, thinking, I can't drive a shovel. I says I could. And I was sitting in it and thinking, I'll get here some way. And I managed through. I got help from somebody and I managed through. But for a few moments, I was in the position of a shovel driver, but not in the condition of a shovel driver. And it was pretty uncomfortable. When God justifies you, he gives you a new position with himself. But he also gives you a condition to match the position so you feel at home. What does he give you? He gives you new life. He gives you a new life. So not just are you made right with God, but you love the God you're made right with. And that's what the Bible says. Therefore, as one trespass, Romans 5 and 18, therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. See, God wants you to enjoy your new position of rightness with him. And so he gives you a new heart, a new desires, a new outlook. And this is a Friday evening, and you're all here in a semicircle in a wee room in the middle of nowhere, listening to a man from Northern Ireland talk about justification. Now, maybe a few years ago you wouldn't be here. But God has changed you. He's changed you. So your condition now matches your position. And then our last point, justification is, don't all run out, justification is by works. See, I thought, if you're going to go to sleep, now's the time you're waking up again. Justification is by works. Well, the Bible says that. We have to try and understand what that means. James 2 verse 24 says, "You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith alone." What are we talking about here? We're not talking about how justification is received, but how justification is evidenced. Justification by works. Works are the evidence of justification. Does that make sense? You cannot be justified and not have a changed life. You have to have a changed life. And the works that James talks about are very specific. James 2 and 15. "If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, 'Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body,' what doth it profit?" James says the works that are an evidence of the fact that you're right with God is because you will love and care for all the people of God. I want to say this. I think I said it before when we're up in Drum. I want to say it again. Any belief system that seeks to erode away our God-given responsibility to sacrificially serve all our brothers and sisters in Christ, no matter what name they have or not, don't have. Any belief system that seeks to erode away that God-given responsibility is unquestionably flawed and must be rejected, no matter how convinced we are that it is true. As justified people, we have a responsibility to love and care for all other justified people, no matter what you call them or what they call themselves. You should only call them what God calls them, but people do take names to themselves. So that's our seven kind of points, and I'm sure you can remember them, hopefully. Three sharp points before we finish. I know it's really time is gone. And these are important. Justification is instantaneous. It's not a process. Romans chapter 5. "Therefore, having been justified." Okay? It's not the process. You're justified at a point in time, and the effect of that will go on eternally. Number two, justification is permanent. There's no such thing in the Bible, I don't know if you've ever found it, where someone is re-justified. "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be re-justified." "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be reborn again." You cannot be justified and lose it. Because if you did lose it, you cannot be re-justified. There's no instruction how that happens. It's a permanent, once you're saved, you're always saved. And then lastly, justification is perfect. There are no degrees in justification. I was in an airplane one time going to Delhi, and I hated flying. I should have more faith, but I just wanted to be the pilot, see out the front. I hate it. And there was a man sitting beside me, he was a gentleman, and he said he was a pilot. He said he was a retired pilot. And so he told me exactly at what time we're going to have turbulence. And the wee map, and he showed me, "Oh, but there, you'll have turbulence there whenever you arrive at that point." He was right, he was dead right. He was a gentleman, lovely man. And he said to me that he was a mason. And he was, I don't know what degree he was it a 30-some degree mason? And I was asking him about it. He says, "Yes, you have to work your way up. And you do this, and you have to do this, and you have to do this. And if you do so much charity, and if you do, you work your way up. And that's the Masonic order. Now, we have no part with that. I understand that. You don't have to work at your justification. Brothers and sisters, you are as right with God now as you ever will be for all eternity. You're as right with God as the Apostle Paul is now. Let me tell you this, you're as right with God today as Christ is. He is the measure of your rightness with God. I hope you rejoice in that. I hope you do. Now, there's other things we can think about. Time has gone, and I trust that has been a help to this evening.